bother me, so hang on. There we go. I'm not, there we go. I'm
already,
no. But it'll do. I may stand. No, that's all right. You got just a folding chair? Is there one of the choir? That'll work. I'll sit up there. Good morning, everybody. Sorry, my father used to say it's not easy getting old. Just that. He's got a different one. Okay. I just sit up here. No, I'll sit up here. Okay. That's better. Sorry about that. I have arthritis in one knee. It's been bad. Actually, I have arthritis in two knees, but the right knee is really acting up today. Somewhere I've had a cane, too. I don't know where. I left it there. I frequently forget I have it. I'll forget. I don't know where you heard that before. But you ought to be careful what you read. Anyway, or listen to. Good morning. Sorry about that. A little chaotic. It's good to be with you. Barb is with me on this trip. Barb's mom lives with us. She came to live with us 2 years ago in April. Right now, Barb's mom is visiting Barb's sister in Michigan for a few weeks. She had 18th great-grandchild born while she was there. And so kind of an exciting time. One of Jackie's sons first born. And then we're going to get her. We took her over to Michigan, and that's a two-day project because she can't travel long, so we stayed in London, Ontario, and then we spent a night at Jackie's house, and then we came home, and we're going to sometime this month go and get her and bring her back. It'll be a three-day project doing it backwards. Barb's siblings need to get together and talk about Mom's future care. We're going to continue taking care of her as long as we can. But Mom is slipping, both mentally and physically, and so it's getting more of a challenge. So we appreciate your remembrance and prayer. I said in the Sunday school hour, we have sold our own home and are buying a ranch, single story. My knees are part of it. I have taken over one bedroom for an office since I started Arise in 2014, and it really is not big enough for an office, taking care of NIACS, the New York Association of Christian Schools, as well as Arise Ministry and my library, and I've got stuff stored in different locations, including our First Bible Baptist Church. And Barb's mom has taken over another bedroom. In the new house, we have a finished basement. Half of it's finished, so that'll give us a place for John and Wendy, our missionary daughter and son-in-law, and their two girls. They are home. They came home Friday from Spain. They're in the process of changing fields. They're going to go to Peru. They serve with ABWE. My son-in-law grew up in Peru. His brother serves as a missionary in Peru. They've asked them to come to Peru and help them start a Bible seminary, a Bible college, to train men for the ministry. They have a number of men interested. And so that's what's happening. And we wanted to be able to have a place for them when they come. When they come to New York, they usually spend 2 or 3 weeks. And that current house, we wouldn't have any place for them to stay, which, you know, that really bothers me. And so we're thankful. We prayed about it, asked God to help us, and he has. It's been an exciting ride. Been a lot of things happening in our life. We both feel like we've been rushed, and the rush is still continuing. Lord willing, we will close on our new house on July the 20th and close on our old house on August the 3rd. Bank of America has a recast provision that we can do that. They'll rewrite the mortgage based on what we put in on August the 3rd and without any large fees or anything, no assessments or anything like that. So that's what's happening kind of in our life. It's been kind of hectic. Meanwhile, last week we took 3 days break and enjoyed some time in Lancaster. We saw Sight and Sound, the presentation of Jesus. I thought it was fantastic, personally. If you're looking for King James dialogue, that's not there, but I wouldn't have expected it. And they did what artists usually picture Jesus with, long hair. I don't really think he had long hair, but you know, if you get past that, you do have to get past that. But otherwise, and they merged some of the story, Bible stories kind of got blended together, and so, but it was very well done. Good invitation, good presentation of the gospel, and Then we enjoyed some of the Amish events that are in that area. Rode in a buggy, actually. And we went to an Amish village and got toured, a bus tour and all that kind of stuff. So it was a lot of fun. However, we came back and have been rushed. It's just been very hectic. So we kind of look forward. We had supper last night with Pastor and Chris and had a great time together. And a good visit, caught up on a lot of things. It's been really nice to have Barb travel with me again. It's pretty quiet on the road without her. And obviously she's noisy. That's. But been nice not to have to leave her. So anyway, we're enjoying this respite. But then, duty calls and you do what you have to do. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 118, verse 9 is what we're going to think about briefly. During the Sunday school, I like to kind of give an update on what's going on in the country and the nation. But Psalm 118, verse 9, is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Now, the middle verse of the Bible is the verse above that, verse 8. And it has kind of a similar thing. It is better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in men. All men are flawed. That means all men will disappoint you at some time or another. None of us are perfect. We've all made mistakes, all done things that we wish we hadn't done. The great thing about the Christian faith, of course, is that we're forgiven. I was in a Sunday school. I don't always teach Sunday school when I'm in churches. I was in a Sunday school class, adult class, and the teacher was teaching about the steward who had a great debt, went into his Lord. The Lord forgave him his debt. He asked for mercy. The Lord forgave him, went out, saw a guy that owed him a small pittance, threatened to throw him into jail and all that. You know the story, Luke, I think it's Luke 16. And the teacher said, now, what's the lesson in this? And a well-dressed woman said, well, some people don't deserve forgiveness. No, she missed the whole point of the story. We forgive because we have been forgiven. So we have to recognize right at the start that, you know, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. And the reason's simple. The Lord will never disappoint you. The Lord is perfect. The Lord is good. But all of the rest of us have flaws. We have blind spots and things, even the best of us. No matter how hard you try, you are going to make mistakes in life. And so part of life is being able to forgive. But verse 9 is what we're kind of thinking about. If it is better to trust the Lord to put confidence in princes. Now, princes were rulers, so I substituted the word, this is a Stiles paraphrase, it's better to trust the Lord to put confidence in politicians. Okay. Donald Trump is the president of the United States. He was elected by the rules, according to the Constitution. Presidents are elected not just by the people, but by the states. That's the Electoral College. Each state is allocated a certain number of electors, and the electors from the states elect the President of the United States. Most states, the majority wins all the electoral. Majority vote wins all of the electoral votes. And so he was elected by the rules. He is the President of the United States. He is not a perfect man. If you are looking for perfection, you're going to be disappointed. However, having said that, I believe he's doing a lot of very good things. In fact, I think there's a lot of amazing things. So that I can kind of keep track of what I'm saying and not just ramble, we're going to look at four different areas. Problems, peace, particularly the issue with North Korea, politics, and then just kind of some personal things. What are the issues? Well, the big news last week was Justice Kennedy has announced his retirement. The Supreme Court normally meets from October till June, the end of June. And frequently, all during the year, they hear cases and they issue their opinions in the last couple weeks of June. Well, there are three big ones last week. One of them was the Colorado Baker. One was unions. State public workers unions cannot require people that do not want to be members or pay the fees to do so. That will cost the workers union, a public service workers union in New York, it's estimated to be about $112 million. So it's a huge decision. It means the left is going to be lacking funds. So it's a huge decision. Kennedy has been the swing vote on a lot of the controversial votes in the last 20 years. Anybody know who he was appointed by? Nope. Ronald Reagan. This is the problem with lifetime commitments. Once a person is confirmed as a U.S. justice, Supreme Court justice, they serve for life. They can be impeached, or they can, like Kennedy's doing, resign for one reason or another. Impeachment has never happened. We have never impeached a Supreme Court justice in the history of the United States. Could happen, but we've never done so. Bribery would be one cause, but it has never happened in our history. So once they're appointed, they are very independent. So even though it looks good, may not be good. The left is going bananas because Kennedy was the swing vote in a lot of these controversial cases. There are 9 members of the Supreme Court. Majority wins. Majority writes the majority opinion. The minority writes the dissenting opinion. Sometimes other members will write. But he's been the swing vote on a lot of controversial issues. And so the left is certain that abortion is in danger, that Roe v. Wade, if the president replaces Kennedy with a conservative, which he says he's going to do, then it will be tough. Now, the left wants to stop him. Michael Moore announced he's going to have 1 million people march on Washington. They're going to do whatever they can. More and more, the left is talking about violence. Congressman Waters, gave a speech recently in a rally. He talked about confronting people on the street, in the restaurants, in the grocery store, in the gas stations. We're not going to tolerate these. You're not welcome here anymore. This is not going to end well. When you're talking, this kind of talk is not going to end well. What Congress should do is censor her. Now, Senator Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, the leaders of the Democrats in the Congress, both have kind of told her to tone down, but she's out of control, and it's not going to end well. We're going to see violence unless something intervenes. Michael Moore is talking, we got to do everything we can to stop it. And one of the things they're motivating them is Roe v. Wade. They're concerned that Roe v. Wade is going to be overturned. Now, in New York, Governor Cuomo has been worried about Roe v. Wade for a long time, for several years. He's tried to get an abortion expansion bill through. He's used various tactics. This year it was pushed again. He called after Kennedy's announcement for a renewed push. And the big thing that is blocking that from happening is Republicans have had control of the Senate, New York State Senate. But technically, it's 31-32. And one of the members of the Senate, Republicans, was called up to active duty. The reason Democrats did not gain control is one Democrat, Sinclair Felder, an Orthodox Jew from Brooklyn, votes with the Republicans to keep them in power. So it's technically been 30, he's been the tie. Well, they tried when the guy got called up to active duty in the Navy. This Republican senator, technically we're at 31-31, and Kathy Hochul, the lieutenant governor, would cast a deciding vote. She's been actually in the wings waiting to come in and cast, force a vote on abortion. Now, they can't get the main bill on there, or couldn't get the main bill on the floor, but what they're doing is amendments. They would pass an amendment. The parliamentarian would say, according to the rules, it has to be germane to the bill. This is not germane, therefore it's out of order. And the chair would rule on that. They can overrule that by a vote. Well, the vote would be 31-31, and she would come in and break the tie, and that's what they forced to do. However, they were not successful. The legislative session has ended now in New York State, which means they all went home. The governor can call a special session, and the leaders can call a special session, and they may do so. But the normal session is from January till June. They actually meet about 60 days a year. It's considered part-time work. They receive a salary of $78,000 a year, plus stipends. So if you're interested in a job, a part-time job at that kind of rate, you might want to run. Many of them, in fairness, they do work during the year. They show up at parades, open, you know, wherever they get in front of the camera, they show up. But some of them have maintained office hours. But basically, the year is from January till June. And then they're done until they're called back, or now they're going to start working on their elections. The control of the Senate is going to be a key. New York State Senate is going to be a key to what happens in the future in New York. Now, all of the country is facing an economic boom. We have record unemployment right now, 4%. Black unemployment's the lowest in our history. Spanish American or Hispanic unemployment's the lowest in our history. Trump has kept his promises, which is why the left is so mad. He has been doing what he said he would do. He's been cutting regulation. For every new regulation, they have to cut two old regulations. That's his rule of thumb. He's been doing a lot of things that I think are very good. Chris is here. The IRS just reported this week that most taxpayers are going to be able to file on a postcard size report. So that'll be an interesting thing. The tax code is way too complicated, and people that have the money have accountants that help them dodge taxes. Over 50% of the people in the United States do not pay federal income tax because their income is so low. And it's just, you know, something's wrong with the system. We've got to fix the system. But a lot of things are happening. Now, let's think about some of the things that are happening. The big topic on the news has been immigration. Came out that we're separating families at the border. Families that come over illegally, the zero tolerance policy that has been implemented says that they are arrested. You've committed a crime, you've crossed the border illegally, that's a crime, and you're put in a holding center. The old policy was kind of catch and release, where people would come over illegally, we would arrest them, and then tell them, all right, you're free to go, come back at a certain date to the court. And, surprise, most people didn't come back. Well, they came illegally. Why would they follow the law to report and be deported? So they just disappear in the country. We do not know how many illegal immigrants live in the United States. You hear figures of 12 million. Some estimates are as high as 30 million. We have 1.2 million, it's believed, in New York alone. And nobody knows for sure. Now, there's a lot of misunderstanding about illegal immigration. One of them, first of all, it is illegal immigration. They are illegal immigrants. They didn't come legally. They're illegal. Okay? That's what that is. They're not just undocumented. If you get stopped by a policeman this afternoon for speeding and you say, I'm an undocumented driver, watch what happens. You're going to be arrested, okay, until you can prove who you are. So anyway, it is illegal immigration. What do we do with them? Well, there is a big problem. Part of what's happening that's not reported is a lot of these people that are coming over as families are not related. The kids are not theirs. There's kidnapping going on, child trafficking's going on, where they're bringing people over here and selling them. Okay. You can't just say we're going to keep families together unless you can prove that they are families. Now, the majority are not coming, are not Mexicans. The majority of those coming over the southern border are from Central America. Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador. Conditions in those countries are bad. It's bad. Corruption, it's bad in Mexico too. The drug cartels are run some of those countries. We helped a refugee when I was at First Baptist Church of West Seneca. A man owned a trucking company, and he called the people that rule the Ricos, or Rich. He owned a couple trucks. One of the trucks got burned because he would not pay a fee to this group. The same day his truck got burned, his wife, who was a Christian administrator of a Christian school, had some men come up to her and said, these are beautiful children. That was a beautiful truck, though, and it'd be a shame if the same thing happened to these children that happened to the truck. Same day, hundreds of miles apart. So they left Guatemala. They came, they fled, tried to get to Canada, and because they came through the United States, they returned back to the United States, and our church helped them for a number of years. Wonderful couple. And part of it is the Bible does command us to help people, to remember the stranger that lives among you. In Israel, there was some immigration. There were people that came seeking God, seeking a better life, but they had to adapt to the Israeli life. They had to adopt the Israeli religion. They were not allowed to continue being pagans. And we have, in their history, been the melting pot. People have come from all over the world, and they've become Americans. No matter what your background, your family had some immigrants in it. Even if you're a Native American, I hate to tell you, but your ancestors came from Asia, so you just got here before the rest of us. But we are all immigrants, so we are to remember. Israel's told, remember, you were once strangers in Egypt, or immigrants. You came, so you need to remember. We ought to treat them with mercy and kindness. But we do have a problem on the border with families and separating them. And pictures were taken in the media, and then it came out that some of those pictures were from 2014 when Barack Obama was president. And it wasn't a problem then, but it's a problem now. Why is that? Well, because the media hates Bush, hates Trump. They hated Bush too. They hate Trump. So, some misunderstanding. One of the biggest ways people come illegally to the United States, though, is not crossing the border. It is coming to the United States as a student or as a temporary worker and staying. They just don't go home. They come over to study and then they just disappear in a large number. We really don't know how many of those there are. Nobody knows exactly how many of them are. So it's a problem. Immigration needs to be fixed. Congress, the biggest problem in Congress is the Republicans have not been able to agree exactly what should be done. Democrats are voting no on anything proposed by Trump or the Republicans, and so the Republicans can stand together. On the Supreme Court Justice, when Harry Reid was the majority leader, they changed the rules of the Senate to say you can't have a filibuster on a judge, which means 51 votes the person can pass. So the left cannot stop anybody that Trump appoints that the Republicans agree with. The Constitution calls that advice and consent. So the Senate has the authority to approve or disapprove of the appointee. And so that is what the process will be. I expect that Trump will move quickly, and you'll probably have a new justice before October when they start the new session. And that will be interesting. This will be the first time in 81 years that conservatives have had the majority on the Supreme Court. So that's why the left is going crazy. If you want to know why they're going nuts, that's why. That's the problem. They see the handwriting on the wall. They know they've got to, if they don't stop this, they got a major problem. And technically, I don't see any way of them stopping it. Except what they'll do is anybody appointed is going to have an exam like no other. They will look for any kind of flaw. And part of what they'll look for is decisions that have been made. During the Bush administration, anybody that Bush appointed had to have no record on abortion or any controversial issue. As a judge, that's a pretty hard thing to do. Now Trump, Gorsuch had a record and was approved. So it's going to be an interesting thing. I don't know that they'll overturn Roe v. Wade. I'm not one who's saying it's doomed. The left is saying that. Planned Parenthood saying that. Governor Cuomo saying that. But I'm not sure they actually will do that. But it is interesting. The Supreme Court never said when life begins. And if life begins at conception, which I believe it does, then abortion has to be illegal, or should be illegal. I have an interesting quote this week for my edition of Arise. Governor Cuomo said last night on the immigration bill, I think it was the immigration decision by the court, just because it's legal does not mean it's right. Now, these are the same people that were talking about settled law when it came to same-sex marriage. That's what they say about abortion. But now they've discovered just because the court says something's legal doesn't mean it's right. Isn't that interesting? The other thing I find very interesting, the left has suddenly discovered God. Maxine Waters said in a speech the other day, God is on our side. I don't think so. I don't think so at all. However, you know, it's interesting how they pull out God when they want him. And they kind of use that. But that is what's happening on that. The the ban was a travel ban, which he was, Cuomo was commenting on. Supreme Court ruled that the president clearly has the constitutional authority to say who can come into the country and who cannot. And the countries involved, although the left and the media wants to call it a Muslim ban, it never was that, although I don't know that it shouldn't be. It's actually a ban on countries that cannot tell us who their citizens are. There's no means of finding out who these people are. And the government's dysfunctional. So we're talking about Syria, Yemen, and other places. Some of these people are terrorists that want to come to this country and do us harm. It's estimated right now there are 40,000 ISIS members living in the United States. Most of them are here as illegal aliens. The president is right, but it's taken, you know, that was done, his decision was made first, right when he was first became president. So we're talking about a year and a half, and finally the courts have said, yes, the Constitution gives the president the right to do this. It was a 5-4 decision, by the way. In this case, Kennedy was on the right side, but that is kind of the way it works. It should have been a unanimous decision. Constitution's very clear on that. So it's a very clear issue, but that doesn't matter to the left sometimes. Anyway, that's an interesting thing. North Korea is on that list, by the way. Very few Muslims live in North Korea. That's why it's not a Muslim ban. It's a ban on countries that are unstable, that cannot what's called vet. Vet is simply investigating. Who are you? Why do you want to come to our country? If you travel abroad, most countries will require a visa. That means you have to get permission from the country to enter their country. That's true in Brazil. When I've taken trips, that's true in most countries. That's just the way it works. And temporary, you know, tourists, they usually let you right through. If you go to Canada, you are going to a foreign country. And a friend of mine's evangelist found out the hard way. He went to the border and they said, you don't need a visa for Canada. But they do ask you at the border, why are you coming, or what are you going to do in Canada? And he said, well, I'm going to preach in a church. He said, they're going to give you any money for doing that? He said, well, I hope so. He said, well, pull over there and fill out the forms, and you're going to have to report that and pay taxes on it before you leave Canada. So he found out the hard way. Next time, he just went to visit friends. Just happened to preach and may have gotten an offering. But that is kind of what happens. All right, so that's immigration. Investigation. The inspector general, most departments of government have an inspector general. The inspector general is designed to keep people honest. That's basically what it is. I have a friend that was retired from the Secret Service and then went back to work for the government as an inspector general. His was a different department than Justice. Justice Department just released the inspector general's report on the investigation. And the FBI, and there are a lot of problems. They clearly documented bias in the investigation, having to do with the investigation of Hillary Clinton and the email scandal and her server and all of that, and bias against Trump, including statements from people, we will stop him. Justice is supposed to be blind. Everybody has opinions. We all understand that. But they're supposed to be able to look at just the evidence, there's some very strong evidence. Congress has a right to oversee. They've been asking for documents. They're not getting them. I think President Trump is playing a game because he could order his attorney general to release the documents or else. He has not done so. I think he likes the controversy going. So that's what's happening. After a year and a half investigation, they've not found any evidence of collusion. If they do find evidence of collusion, technically there's no statute against it. Did Russia have an influence on our election? Well, the evidence is, yeah, they did. But there's no evidence that Trump or his people were involved in the decision. How do they influence elections? Other countries do as well. Well, they buy ads and generate false reports on Facebook and other places. So a lot of us use Facebook. You really have to be discerning when you read stuff. Now, Facebook has been under a lot of criticism, so they're now telling you who paid for the ad, but you don't always know who paid for the ads. Even if they say it's a, you know, such and such a group, who's the group? You got to figure out who that group is. And you know, we do know that they generate, and part of it is they have programs that will generate multiple letters or reports. And so news, fake news stories are out there all the time. The president's right in calling it fake news. Sometimes the media gets on that, calls it fake news as well, or he calls it fake news, and it is, because they just make up the story, or they twist it. Words are twisted to mean something other than what was actually said or taken out of context. I have been interviewed by television stations. They'll come in with a camera and say, now we're just going to set up, and while we're setting it, we'll just chat, this is off the record, and then they will tell you when we're starting. Well, if you look at the camera, the red light's on. You always assume that the camera's on and the microphones are live. And that what they try to do is to get you in a statement and then take that statement and twist it. So it makes it sound like you said something totally different than what you really intended. So you have to be very careful with the media. And fake news is out there. Check out stories. I try sometimes to correct things. Sometimes people get mad because I say that's fake news. that's an internet hoax. Okay, and people, it just stuns me how gullible people are. To believe stuff that, you know, is outlandish, you know, check it out. Be careful about, you know, we used to call it gossip. Yeah. When you spread a story, and it's still gossip, whether you're using electronics or using the telephone or just talking to your neighbor, be careful about what you use. So anyway, that's the investigation. And then another problem right now is insanity. We are living in a crazy time. This is nutty. Okay. The Board of Regents are responsible for education in New York State. They're appointed by a joint session of the legislature. There's 9 regents in the state and then a couple at large. And they serve without pay. So these are basically wealthy individuals that are interested in education, and you know, they're people, public servants. They're just serving because they help. But they are considering right now, at the suggestion of our Commissioner of Education, a policy against discrimination on gender or gender expression. And they've interpreted that to mean that that means a child has a right to determine their own gender. And to contradict them is a problem. So the illustration on the policy, what would be discrimination? Telling a boy who thinks he's a girl, he has to use the boys' room. Or changing room. And it actually says changing room. Or shower room. So a 16-year-old boy who's not had surgery, he's not had any genetic change, because that's not possible, decides that he's a girl, he can go and shower with the girls at the high school. That is insane. That is insane. I mean, that's a departure from reality. In Romans chapter 1, it talks about people descending into sin. It talks about paganism. And God gave them over to a reprobate mind. A reprobate mind is a mind that can no longer discern between good and evil. And that's the day in which we live. These are people who call evil good and good evil. So, you know, they think that's a great idea. The medical field now are talking about doctors should not tell parents of a newborn baby it's a boy or it's a girl. They should let the child grow up and decide. One of these child experts a couple weeks ago announced that a parent should not change a baby's diaper without asking permission of the baby first. I did not make that up. That's insanity. That's insanity. I'm going to change your diaper now. Is that okay? I don't think a newborn's going to nod and say yes. It feels very uncomfortable. I would appreciate that. I can tell you as a young parent, there were times when I would just assume they said no. Nobody warned me. I did not know about little boys. And anyway, honesty is a good thing. I didn't change too many diapers. We had four kids. Not me. Especially number two. No. We're not doing that. And grandkids, don't have to change grandkids. You hand them back. That's what. There they are. It's your kid. Grandkids are fun, by the way. It's your vengeance on your kids. Someday you're going to have a kid just like you. And it's fun when it happens. It is. It really is. The left is going insane. They're going insane. It's insanity. And one half, it's funny. On the other hand, it's sad. I mean, life doesn't work. I've talked to you before about college students. We have a lot of college students studying stuff they'll never be able to make a living at. And they're graduating with massive debts. I heard a guy say the other day, he was graduating from medical school, he would have $1 million in student loans. Now, it takes a long time to pay off $1 million. He said it. I don't know if it's true or not. It may be one of those gossip things. But it was on TV, and they were talking about loans. I get calls every week. I'm 70 years old. Every week I get phone calls. They're willing to renegotiate my student loans. At age 70, I've never had a student loan in my life. Okay? Didn't need one. Now, I realize it's a different day. College has become more expensive. Students get it. Our kids had. We paid for half their college. They worked. They borrowed some money. They end up paying their loans off in 10 years or something like that. But kids that are going off to college and coming out with $40,000, $50,000 in debt have got a problem. And they can't get a job in the fields that they've studied. Meanwhile, we have a tremendous shortage in the trades. Carpenters, electricians, plumbers, machinists. There's a great lack. Before you go off to college and want to study something, don't just study something you're interested in or something your advisor tells you. Figure out how you're going to make a living with that. What are you going to do? It's just kind of a crazy thing. The insanity just continues. Meanwhile, the unemployment rates are record lows. There's jobs out there. It's just that people aren't trained for the jobs in many cases that they want, or they're not getting it. My nephew graduated a number of years, 31 years old, never had a full-time job in his life. And he says, I can't find anything in my field. Well, then it's time to work in another field. it's not hard to figure out. All right, let's move on. Peace, the peace treaty. This is huge. The president did what no other president has been able to do, talk to a leader of North Korea. I do not trust the North Koreans. I hope the president is approaching that with Reagan's philosophy of the Russians, trust but verify. North Korea is obviously hurting. People are starving in North Korea. The leader has decided he wants to make peace, not war. At least that's what he says. The president is saying this would be good for the country. We've been this way before. We've made deals with North Korea before to get rid of their nuclear weapons. And then after a while, we find out they're still producing nuclear weapons. So I really don't trust them. But we're in a better place now than we were 6 months ago. They're producing weapons. They were firing missiles over Japan. They have the capability of hitting the United States now with an intercontinental missile, we believe. They're fixing warheads, nuclear warheads. It could be a very dangerous situation. A war with North Korea would be very costly. We fought a war with North Korea once before, the Korean War. China intervened on North Korea's part. MacArthur had driven all the way up to the line almost, and the Chinese came over, and that we really never had a peace treaty with them. Some good things that are happening. One of them you have not heard probably in the media. Missing in action bodies are being returned, the dead from the Korean War. Over 200 bodies have been returned. It's believed to be 4,000 or more over there. That's a good thing. They claim they have stopped their expansion. They've certainly stopped their testing, and they say they've stopped the production. We hope that that's true. But the one you have not heard is he's also said he would allow Christian missionaries to come in to North Korea. And that North Korea has been one of the most closed countries in the world. There are a lot of Christians, evangelical Christians in South Korea that have wanted to go to North Korea as missionaries, but before they've been arrested as spies. Some, three were just recently released in good health. You probably saw that in the news. So some good things are happening. We need to keep praying. Politics. Right now, the political climate is toxic, which means my state senator, Senator Joe Robach, said he had never seen it so toxic in Albany. He said in the past, we could disagree, we could discuss it, and still be friends. He said now it's anti-Trump. And that's affected Albany as well as Washington. I've talked to people in Washington, they say the same kind of thing. It is just anti-Trump, and it's a toxic situation. The elections this fall are very important. The governor is up for re-election. He's being challenged by Cynthia Nixon from the left. She is a Hollywood star. I've never seen Sex and the City. That's the TV or movie she was in. But she is a lesbian. She announced last week at Gay Pride Day that one of her children is a transgender. She is pushing for legalization of marijuana. She's pushing for open borders. She called last week for the abolition of ICE, Immigration and Customs Service. So enforcement, she is, she's to the left, and she's pushing Cuomo to the left. He's worried about losing that base, and so he's been moving to the left himself. On the right, the Republicans have nominated Mark Molinaro. He's from Dutchess County. He is considered by many to be a moderate to conservative. Friends that I have friends in Dutchess County, they say he's a good guy. They have a lot of confidence in him. I hope that that's true. Republicans have had a tendency to roll over and play dead when it comes to elections and support. Our U.S. Senator Christine Gillibrand is up for re-election this fall. She is being challenged by Farley. Her last name is Farley. She's a young, fairly young woman. She is conservative. That's a Republican nominee. There is a Libertarian candidate running for governor as well, and a lot of people like him, but I think that he needed a challenge for the Republican nomination. Either Republican or Democrat are probably going to be elected, so I'm not big on third parties. That's what's happening there. The control of the Senate is the big thing. Control of the New York State Senate is going to be huge. And some of the old guys are retiring. DeFrancisco retired. Hugh Farley is retired. Some of the men that we counted on in the past are stepping down. They're in the mid-80s, some of these other guys. And so it's just time, and we don't have a good farm team. This is a problem for the Republican Party, somewhat of a problem in the Democratic Party, too. We don't see young people coming up, young leaders, as much as was really needed. Then I've run out of time. Personal, I've told you about the house, so God's been good. We'll talk more later today. All right, it's 10:02, and the church starts at 11, right? So I better pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity we have to be here today. And Lord, we are reminded it's better to trust in the Lord and put confidence in men. Our trust is in you, not in princes, not in politicians, not in kings or governors or presidents, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. Having said that, though, we are thankful for some of the things we see, concerned about some others that we see, and we recognize, Lord, we may have received a reprieve for a time in the Supreme Court, the presidency, and other places, but what we really need is revival. America needs to return to God. And Lord, we're the agents of change. Help us to accomplish what you'd have us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, God bless you. Thank you.